You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A piece in the Style section of the Washington Post headlined, "The abortion rights movement is bolder than it's been in years." That's Cecile Richards' plan. Here's how the Style piece ends. "That message is clearer and more out in the open than ever before at the Democratic National Convention. Cecile Richards delivered it again in her speech, using that once taboo word, abortion, 3 times in 5 minutes. There won't be any hiding from it anymore. Quote, there are still enormous barriers to women who need safe and legal abortion," she says, wrapping up an interview. "We need to challenge or repeal every single restriction that's out there. The fight goes on." It sounds like they're moving from being pro-choice to pro-something else. Joining us to respond to the Washington Post piece about Cecile Richards and the boldness of the abortion rights movement, Carol Tobias, a regular guest and president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. It's great to be back.
Reading this piece in the Washington Post, it sounds to me like if Cecile Richards is any indication, we have moved from this group being pro-choice to positively pro-abortion.
They are. Cecile Richards is much more in your face. She is not going to try to sugarcoat anything. To her, abortion is a good thing. She doesn't care about the unborn child, and she's very proud of the fact that, you know, she has killed her own child, and she is in charge of an organization that kills more than 300,000 babies every year.
As a strategy, I got to wonder about it, and neither of us are political experts, but this is obviously coming in the context of the huge exposure of Planned Parenthood's trafficking in fetal body parts that took place last year. And I'm wondering, is this a doubling down of Planned Parenthood and Cecile Richards on the issue as a response to that?
It may be, but I think it was even before the videos that she was becoming much more outspoken and bold in proclaiming abortion as a good thing. This is something that she's been working on for a couple of years. You know, Planned Parenthood decided that they were going to start encouraging women to, I don't say brag about their abortion, but talk about it and how it was such a good thing and how it was such a wonderful event in their life. So they have been pushing this for a while. The videos exposed them, but she was able to kind of get the media to ignore it and just work around it.
Does it have the potential to backfire? In other words, in light of those videos, I imagine a lot of people think Cecile Richards should retire and go into hiding or into virtual anonymity.
It would be great if she did, but I have no doubt that she will be around for several years to come. She has become very strong in Washington, D.C. The Democrats in Congress do whatever she wants. In the Washington Post piece that you referred to, I was quoted as calling her the puppet master, because Democrats in Congress, when she says jump, ask how high. She really does have her fingers in the mix, in the leadership of the Democratic Party, and she's not backing down in any way. They want to go after the Hyde Amendment. They want our tax dollars to pay for abortion. They want to get rid of any and all limits on abortion. Now, I don't think that's going to work because people still are not comfortable with abortion. And she has gotten some people to come out very strongly in favor of it, being very upfront about it. But those are the people that were already in the abortion camp. I don't think she is going to influence those that are kind of in the middle and would rather the issue just go away.
I don't know if America is ready for the Planned Parenthood president coming out and saying, look, all restrictions got to go. What she actually said to the Washington Post, that there are enormous barriers to women who need safe and legal access to abortion. I've noticed that the term rare is no longer there, just my aside there. We need to challenge or repeal every single restriction that's out there. The American people don't want completely unrestricted abortion, do they?
No, they do not. A lot of the laws that she is referring to that she would like to have repealed are those passed in many states that would say once an unborn child has developed to the point where he or she can feel pain, the abortion is not going to be allowed. Laws that would say you cannot kill an unborn child using the dismemberment abortion method so that they die because their arms and legs have been pulled off and they bleed to death. There are laws that say parents have to be notified in many states. Parents have to be notified or give their consent before a minor daughter can get an abortion. There are laws that say if you are in the medical profession as a doctor or a nurse or some other position, you cannot be forced to participate in an abortion if you have any kind of objection, religious or otherwise. Informed consent provisions that a woman has to be told of what's going to happen to her and to her baby during the abortion process. Those are all the kinds of limits that Cecile Richards would like to get rid of, but they have an overwhelming popular support among the American people. So she can talk about repealing those laws, but she is going to find it difficult to do.
Cecile Richards has repeatedly asserted that abortion comprises only 3% of Planned Parenthood's business, and I would wonder, why would you fight so hard to have all restrictions removed from something that only comprises 3% of your business?
Well, most of their business comes from women who are pregnant. Of the women who do come into their facilities who are pregnant, 90% or more leave having had an abortion. Now, that might be what they would consider 3% of their business, but that's because they have bundled. If a woman comes in, they might give her an ultrasound. They'll do the abortion. They'll give her a test for sexually transmitted diseases. As she leaves, they will probably give her a pack of birth control pills, and they might do 5 or 6 different services in their mind, but she came in for the abortion, and yet they would say the abortion was just one of those 6 services. So that's how they get their 3%, but that's definitely where they make their money. I mean, they're getting, $500 million of our tax dollars in addition to the money, almost that same amount that they're making throughout the year and other services, but most of that is abortion.
What do you make of the absence of the term rare from safe and legal? It used to be safe, legal, rare. Now Cecile Richards wants to talk only about safe and legal.
She really doesn't care about unborn children, does not acknowledge them as human beings. She said herself that her own children were not human beings until they were born. So to her, this is no different than removing an appendix or a gallbladder or anything else. The unborn child has absolutely no worth, and she is not going to stop until she thinks that everybody is okay with killing that baby. And she's got a long road to go because so many of us are going to be fighting her tooth and nail every step of the way.
When I read the Washington Post piece, Carol, my first thought was, the Washington Post is making an attempt with a friend to rehabilitate a tattered reputation after a pretty tough year for Planned Parenthood and Cecile Richards, and yet to do it in this way, to present a new, bolder stance in favor of abortion, does not seem the best way to do that. What are your thoughts, finally?
I would agree with you. Making her out to be the in-your-face type of person that is going to lead this charge will be effective for some people, but it will not work for, I think, most Americans because they are just not comfortable with the idea of killing unborn children indiscriminately for any reason during any time of pregnancy.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about their work under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a great day, Todd.
On the other side of this break, we're going to talk about an ecumenical document recently approved by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and Roman Catholic leaders. The headline reads, U.S. Lutherans agree with Roman Catholics. We'll correct that headline. Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.